This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
Even though the Beechcraft Aircraft Company has been based in Wichita, Kansas since it was founded in 1932, the iconic Beechcraft Heritage Museum is located in the rural Tennessee town of Tullahoma, not far from the Alabama border. The connection is that Walter Beech was born and raised in nearby Pulaski, Tennessee. The museum was originally formed in 1973 to showcase the iconic Beechcraft Staggerwing biplane. Over the years, the breadth of featured classic Beechcraft airplanes featured at the museum's 60,000 square foot facility has expanded to include the classic V-tail Beechcraft Bonanza, the iconic twin Beech 18, the Baron and the King Air, the futuristic 2000 Starship, and the T-34 Naval Trainer, with a total of more than 35 classics of the sky on display. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along with me to learn the rest of the story with Charles Parrish, president at the Beechcraft Heritage Museum, located at the Tullahoma Regional Airport. The airport served in a different incarnation back in World War II as the Army Air Corps B-17 training base. Here with Charles Parrish, the president of the Beechcraft Heritage Museum. I love it. This is such an epiphanous, wonderful moment for me because I've always loved Beechcraft and its history. Like we talked about the Bonanza earlier, I always associated it with Wichita and not Tennessee. Explain how this museum came to be here in Tennessee.
Well, my parents were a big part of that. One of the airplanes that we walked by today, my dad fell in love with it back in the late 60s, called a Beechcraft Staggerwing. Took 3 years to talk the guy into selling it to him. He used to attend a fly-in up in Iowa. He sold it to my father, and they became very good friends. He talked him into coming and working for my father and my father's business. They had a Staggerwing club at the time. They all got together and decided, hey, this would be a unique thing that we could do is to preserve the Beechcraft Staggerwing.
Talk to us about this Staggerwing word picture contextually, too, because it really is the epitome, the apex of the biplane era.
Yes. I mean, the first thing you'll notice is that the upper wing is behind the lower wing, hence the Staggerwing. Mr. Beech and Mr. Wells, the designers, they had a concept that they could have better visibility, and the stall characteristics were very unique and very docile.
Hard to stall.
Yes, it is. It kind of porpoises. I have quite a bit of time in the Staggerwing and can speak from experience.
Mm-hmm. And so did it become a game changer in biplane aviation era?
Absolutely. As we walked around, Tom, you remember me pointing out that back in the 20s, the passenger sat in the open cockpit area in front of the pilot. He was in tandem behind them. Mm-hmm. They're out in the elements. Mr. Beech had the concept, hey, let's get the folks and the pilot inside in a controlled environment, make it more comfortable. In reality, it also made the airplane faster by not having all the canopies and what have you.
But that was the evolution of aviation, and travel by air was going through a rocket-fast evolution at that time. So if you look at the 20s, it probably was barnstormers and little rides at the county fair or whatever. But all of a sudden, people are realizing this can be for transcontinental travel, right?
Exactly.
So that
exactly.
dovetailed in with why the enclosed canopies and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, we didn't have the interstate system at the time. Mm-hmm. So to cross the country, you had to go through every little town and every little two-lane road, if you even had a road, to get across the country. Staggerwing flies as the crow flies. Made a lot of sense. Even at 100 miles an hour, it made a lot of sense. Mm-hmm.
So this museum, Aviation Museum, started as a Staggerwing museum.
Thank
right?
you. Yes, that's yeah, correct.
Limited to. But it didn't stop there. It just was a starting point.
Well, the Staggering Wing, of course, was produced by the Beechcraft Company.
Right.
At the time, it was owned by the Beech family. And they had many other products, and they're still in production today. The Textron Corporation owns them, and they still produce aircraft in Wichita today. And we wanted to encompass some of the other models of the Beechcraft lineage.
Right. So tell us about how and when and why you evolved into become a Beechcraft museum.
There's numerous reasons. Probably the most apparent was that we wanted to go into the future. We wanted to grow. We wanted to get larger and be more. And we were very limited if we were just the Staggering Wing Museum. I will have to say, within our organization, it was kind of a tough decision because there's some of the purest folks that saw it from the very beginning. They didn't want us to include necessarily the entire Beechcraft line.
But
was the right decision.
And you did a home run on that one.
Yeah.
Give us a quick overview in word picture about the breadth of the aviation history relative to Beechcraft that you have here.
Well, we're covering all aspects of it from 1925, even actually earlier than that, when it was the Swallow Corporation, then the Travel Air Corporation in the 20s, all the way up to present day.
You have military aircraft there, training aircraft that are legendary.
Yes. Well, glad you brought that up. We have some of your Beechcraft single engines that went around the world numerous times. We have a military exhibit area. We have your old vintage open cockpit hangar, Mr. Beech's hangar. So we really cover all aspects, right up to the twin-engine Beechcraft models that are out there that were used to haul anything from dynamite to chickens to Mr. Executive with the corporation. We've got examples of both.
And then the aircraft, the World War II one, trainer for bombardiers, right, and navigators and turret gunners.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, that's one of our unique exhibits as we walked around, Tom. You got to see that. It's unique in that the airplane is not put together. So you can intimately walk up to the airplane, see the engine exposed without the cowling. You can see into the wing root, learn how they did the fabric parts of the metal airplane. It's unique. See up in the gear well and what have you. And we've got a turret there, soon to have the bomb bay doors attached. I should mention the Norden bomb site,
right.
The top secret bomb site of World War II. We have one of those on display.
That's really cool. And then back to the Stagger Wing, the cutaway one that's all without the dope fabric on it. Tell us about that.
We call it the Naked Stagger Wing.
There you go, yeah.
So,
yeah, literally.
Well, it was a project that we wanted to complete all the way through cover and fabrication. However, when we put it together without the cover on it, we all of a sudden, it was a wallow moment. I mean, man, and people have proven that that was a good decision because so many people don't understand what's under a fabric airplane, the workmanship and the wood that's used. There's four different types of wood used on a Stagger Wing. It's just very unique to see it put together that way. And then you've got the gentleman that may be restoring one. He can come and
you literally had a guy come in and take bazillion pictures so he could.
That is a true story.
Be accurate.
Over 1,000 pictures of that one display.
That's really cool. So, real time saver for this guy for
absolutely.
Sure. Yeah. It would seem to me that any kid, school age kid, that would be interested in aviation, this would be an awesome destination while they're on vacation traveling around this area of Tennessee.
Thank you. Absolutely. One of the things unique about our museum is that we don't have barriers around the exhibits. And as long as people don't abuse it, we'll continue it that way, where you can walk up to the airplane. We ask you not to touch it, but you can almost touch it. So that's kind of unique, a way that we tour. Also, the gearheads love our museum. The Harley-Davidson motorcycle riders, they love it. Car buffs. We've got
the cutaways of the radial engines, you can see.
Yeah, I mean,
the guts.
The gearheads love our museum.
And aviators. I understand that the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association comes here, does fly-ins here.
Right. Well, we've had them twice. We have our own event in October called the Beach Party, and we have unique events throughout the year, every year. Some are closed. Some are we host. For instance, we've got over 7 or 8 glider students here this week training the CAP, National Youth here training in gliders. And
really?
They're using our museum as a host point.
Oh, cool. And you're connected to an airport runway right up front?
That's correct. We're adjacent to the Tullahoma Regional Airport. For the pilots out there, it's Tango Hotel Alpha is the identifier for the airport.
Cool. And that dates back to World War II. Was it Army Air Corps?
Yeah, it was a B-24 base.
Wow. That's awesome. Do you have any pictures of when the B-24s were here?
There are some. I don't have any in our museum, unfortunately.
That would be awesome to see that picture.
They weren't Beechcrafts, but that's a good point. That's a good point.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, just kind of that look back in time. Yeah.
Our airport does have some, and I think you're going there later today, and you'll see some of that at our regional airport fixed base operator. It's fun to talk to the old-timers. I'm a native Tullahoma guy, so talk to some of the old-timers that remember seeing...
Being there during the...
Whoa, my father was one.
Wow.
He's 84 now, so he remembered seeing him when he was 6 or 7 years old, seeing him fly over.
How cool. Yeah. Living history.
Yep.
Anything you want to add why somebody should detour and come to the Beechcraft Museum?
I'll tell you what impresses me. I've worked here. I've been with this organization or with this museum since I grew up around it. As I said, my parents and lots of other folks made this happen. But I started working for the organization about 15 and the responsibility that I have now. It never ceases to amaze me when people look me straight in the eyes and they tell me what a unique place this is, how much they enjoyed it, and they will be back. Yeah, we're a little off the beaten path, small town. But Jack Daniels is right down the road, too.
Go.
So you kind of tie two tours in that day.
Well, I think that's what's going to make it grow is connecting with the day trippers, even, out of Nashville.
Right.
Yeah.
We're seeing a lot more of that. Atlanta area, Chattanooga area, Huntsville, Alabama area, Nashville, just the day trippers that come.
You're really close to Alabama, Huntsville.
Yeah, we're about an hour.
I heard people commute from this area to work there.
Engineers, yes. We're a big engineering community.
So I'm envisioning a NASA party here. Why not?
Okay.
Yeah. Future meets the past.
Right.
All right. Charles Parrish, what a pleasure. Thank you for the great day.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah. I enjoyed meeting you today.
Oh, this has been just precious for me. To learn more about your world, where would you recommend somebody go?
Well, of course, our website.
Which is?
Which is beechcrafthm.org. Give us a call.
Cool.
Charles Parrish, president of the Beechcraft Heritage Museum. Thanks for having me.
Charles, thank you so much. Again, I'm still absorbing. Yeah. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Tennessee. We'll see you here.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolf, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust preservation initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. And in fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.